spanning in age from 14 to 50. This has profoundly impacted who I am today. I remember a moment in my early 30s when I counted how many of my friends were not related to me. It was a very modest and slightly embarrassing number. I am number 10 in the birth order. Cousin number 39, Molly, just graduated from high school this year. 20 years my junior, she began visiting me when she entered middle school. She'd come up, attend summer in the city, the middle school mission trip here, and then we'd spend time enjoying what the Twin Cities have to offer. I didn't realize her visit was a tradition until last summer when she came up with a significant other just to spend time with family and stay with me. They came back again this summer. At the beginning of each visit, I remind her of my expectations. Don't do anything illegal. Let me know if you'll be out past my bedtime. Clean up after yourself and make yourself at home. When they visit, I'll look in my recycling bin and see a large pile of my kombucha bottles empty. Or I'll open the cabinet in my bathroom and see that my toiletries have been vastly depleted. My favorite was this summer when I finally opened our fridge that was so overflowing with vegetables I was just avoiding it. I opened it to find that Molly had somehow sifted through all of those vegetables to find the small bag of chocolate that was hidden at the back. She had eaten half of it and left the rest in front for easy access later. I delight how they embrace the spirit of make yourself at home. They don't worry about the quid pro quo hospitality mindset that a lot of us adults can get trapped in. They are joyful, easy guests, and that joy overflows to me as the host. Today's gospel passage is all about the rules and the spirit of hospitality. Jesus, who can at times speak in head-scratching words, is pretty clear. In the Gospel of Luke, this is the third time that he has eaten with the Pharisees. In general, he disagrees with them and engages in challenging conversation. Yet he keeps saying yes to their invitation to share food and keeps them close. In this, we hear a call to eat with those different from us too. Then he gives instructions about never assuming that you deserve the chair of honor. Even if those present at the meal were not observing this etiquette, this was not new news to his listeners. The culture of Jesus' time and the book of Proverbs had similar instructions. Then Jesus changes things up a bit. He implores those present to consider who they invite to their table. Don't invite the easy people like your friends or your rich neighbors or your 40 cousins. Invite the people who don't make the invitation list. Invite the people who cannot repay your generosity. In general, these words of Jesus's have felt flat and heavy and claustrophobic to me. When I wrestled with why, I realized that I only identified as the host or the Pharisees, the people who have social status at this dinner party. The further into the passage I go in this role, the more I feel weighed down by these rules and the knowledge that I am falling short. I wonder who you identify as. Once I added myself to the list of people who don't make the invitation list, this passage became beautiful, good news. We all know what it's like to walk into a cafeteria and wonder, is anyone going to sit with me? Or what it feels like to wait for an invitation that we want so much that never comes and struggle with questions of what is wrong with me? Or what it's like to be in a group, personal, professional, or familial, where we feel like we have nothing to offer. We are imperfect. God invites each of us to the party. We are all offered God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned, and fully embracing love. In today's gospel, Jesus is tossing the quid pro quo ideas of faith aside. The idea that if we do enough good work, only then will we receive God's grace and love. We are all God's beloved children. We just receive that love. When we receive it, when we see ourselves as fully beloved by God, even in our brokenness, even with the parts we try to cover or hide, then we become the hosts of today's sacred story. We invite and include because God's love is too abundant to keep to ourselves. God's love is so abundant that we start to see everyone as God's beloved children. This is the glorious image of God's kingdom here on earth. Yet our human tendency to transactional faith is great. The idea that if I do this, then this. And so to wrestle with it, I look for places that I can find hope and inspiration, where there are reminders of Jesus' holy hospitality. In my previous church, our community meal was changed from a "we serve those in need" to "all are welcome to eat together." This meant that those of us in the congregation shared bread with neighbors who came for reasons of food insecurity, loneliness, or just because they felt like it. Tables were full of people who normally would not spend time together. Sometimes for myself, it was hard because I had to acknowledge that not everybody thinks the same thing as me. And they are all God's beloved children. Lines of difference, social status, race, economic status, political views, and religious views were crossed. And in those moments of connection, across those lines of difference, the Holy Spirit was dancing. Or I look to City House, one of St. Mark's mission partners. They train spiritual companions to listen to those who are rarely given a voice or a moment to be heard. The spiritual listeners come as equals, with the vision that we are both here as God's beloved children. Or I remember my cousin Molly's visits. She moves freely with the spirit of knowing that she is loved, which becomes an example for who I should be when I'm invited. Every time we share the bread and wine, we come invited as God's beloved children. We are invited as a community so that we may see a glimpse of the kingdom of God that Jesus is sharing in his words today, and share that beautiful, life-giving image in our lives.